listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 157. Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the guy who forgot what editing is, John Brownstone. This week, we're talking about what 24/7 DS is like for us and what it isn't. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. Those reviews really do help. A lot of the newer listeners that we are getting are from you telling your friends or reviewing or sharing in your kick groups or your Facebook groups or wherever.
And they told two friends and they told two friends and so on and so on.
So whenever you're happy with us, please feel free to share us.
Yep.
You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, on Instagram at that handle I still fucking hate, LovingDS and the number one, LovingDS1. Or you can watch us on YouTube at youtube.com/lovingbdsm. All links are in the show notes. And for the record, for this week at least, take a peek at us on YouTube. We are recording in a totally different place. All of the equipment is set up. It looks totally different.
Yes.
It's still a work in progress, but it does look completely different.
The living room looks compromised.
I know it does. It does. I've been trying to take pictures that we'll post out online prior to this episode going live. If you are interested in taking a peek, the YouTube version of this goes live on Monday. So you should highly recommend.
Light boxes, tripod, camera, or mic stands.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah.
It's cool, but it is wild. It'll definitely
Converted
be an adjustment.
Converted our living room into
a studio.
Studio.
I know. Massive lights. Like, it's just nuts. And we know we still have some tweaking to do, so the next several weeks might be an adventure for everybody.
Yes.
Okay, so I do have a few announcements.
All right.
Okay. Yes, the Lodbrok giveaway is over. Yes, we drew two winners. Mm-hmm. We are recording on Thursday midday, and I have only heard back from one of those winners. So the other winner, I will follow up with them, and they will have until the end of the weekend to let me know. So everybody check your junk and or spam folders, please and thank you. And then if I don't hear from them, then I'll draw another second winner. So, but that is over. I'm sure we'll do giveaways later. No worries there. Okay. Before we get into the topic about 24/7 DS,
right?
Two things we want to talk about.
Yes.
The first, and we're going to talk about the details of how everything went down at the Woodshed in Orlando during the bonus section. We'll gush about all of that. But we wanted to say a huge thank you to the people who came by just to see us. I mean, I'm sure there was some shopping going on and some checking out of things, but there were people who came by and said, you said you were going to be here, so here I am.
And there we were.
And there we were. And it was wonderful.
It was.
We got to see one person that we know and we have seen in other settings, and that was fun. And then we got to see people that we either only know from email or sometimes you might maybe kind of talk to us on social media, but we've never had a long conversation. And one person came by the booth, had a great times going, look at all this stuff on our table. And I didn't even know we were connected on social media until they left and messaged me that night. They never said, hey, I listen, or hey, I follow you. They were just shopping and I, you know, treated them like everybody else. And there they were. So it was amazing. We had some great conversations.
It was a good time overall. A big thank you to Master Cecil and his staff of the Woodshed.
Yes.
Everybody was great. We were really honored for them to have us. They made us feel welcome.
Yeah, they were just great from the moment we walked in the door. It was awesome.
Really, really a great group of people and a fantastic space.
Yeah, I mean, from what I could tell, we were the total strangers to the group. They all, in some form or fashion, seemed to know one another. And there we were, not knowing anybody. And everybody being like, where are you from? Are you coming back? Will we see you again? We're like, we're out of towners.
Not so, for long, though.
Not for long. We when we moved to Ocala, that the woodshed's a little over an hour away, but it'll definitely be our home club.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we'll talk about all that at the
later
end.
Later in the bonus, yep.
The other thing we want to talk about, and some of you, if you are watching us on YouTube, or if you only do podcasts and you keep your kinky life very, very, very private, you might not even be aware of this, but a lot of us are aware of this, and mm-hmm. that is, as of December 17th, Tumblr is banning all sexual content and female presenting nipples.
Nipples, yes.
Just the most awkward way to say that.
Uh-huh.
And it's a blow to the kink community, to the sex positive community, to queer communities. Like, it's yeah. fucking up a lot of us for yeah. sure.
Tumblr is kind of its own, has always been a little bit of its own microcosm.
Yeah.
Most of the people that are on Tumblr, don't really tend to wander off
no,
of that space too
a lot
much.
Of people, not everybody, because we're on multiple platforms.
We're on multiple.
Several people we know are on multiple platforms, right. But the people who are really loyal to Tumblr tend to use Tumblr, and that's right. where they kind of, that's their online social space to, yeah. For their fandoms, and for their kinks, mm-hmm. and for their sexuality, and for their gender, and for all of that, and 90% of what Tumblr is about to go away.
Right, and myself, I've been on Tumblr now. I've had that account prior to knowing you.
Yeah.
7 or 8 years.
Yeah, you've been there a long
easily.
Time.
What's really sad about this, my perspective at least, there were a good number of people who ran a lot of body positive memes.
Yes.
On Tumblr.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, I have seen that help a lot of mm-hmm. people who have had body issues. It has been a tremendous platform for transgendered people.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Where they run into a lot of bias. There they found a very open and welcoming community. They found their tribe.
Right. And that's what all of the social spaces do this, but Tumblr did it in a way for a long time, up until yeah. at least 2013 or so, mm-hmm. did it in a way that was really open,
yes.
where it kind of didn't matter how you identified. You could find not only images that would speak mm-hmm. to you, you could find people who understood. Even if you didn't always
right.
agree completely, you understood each other. So that is going away, and it is devastating. We used it when we were long distance to communicate.
Correct.
And I don't mean messaging. I mean, we would actually put a little note in images that we saw that made us think of the other person. And then mm-hmm. as the other was scrolling through Tumblr at whatever time of day, we could see, oh, that image made John Brownstone think of me, or
yes.
that image made Kayla think of me, or, oh, that's a thing I'd like to try with you, or that's mm-hmm. really sexy to me. Like, we actually used it to communicate desire.
Our desires and our interest in kink and different ways like that. I know right now it's a big dumpster fire.
Oh, gosh.
What's going on there. Could Tumblr have handled it differently? Probably.
Definitely.
Is it all Tumblr's fault? No.
Not really.
It's a combination of things. Recently, iTunes has banned Tumblr's app.
Because of a child pornography issue.
Because of a child pornography issue, thank you. And in suit, Google Play
did the same thing.
So it kind of forced Tumblr's hand a little bit,
and they were
to a certain extent.
They were bought by Verizon in 2017.
Right.
When Yahoo bought them in 2013,
right?
That's when they really cracked down. That's when they did. They made it almost impossible to even be found. But at least you could still post.
But at least you could still be there.
Right, you could be there, and people who followed you could see your content. Now, even people who follow you won't be able to see most of your content.
No, no.
And their system is so jacked up right now. It's flagging things that are in no way sexual or in no way
right.
there's no nudity. Sometimes there's not even people in the picture.
There was a baking pan of bacon.
Oh gosh.
that was flagged as inappropriate.
Probably looked like a rack of
dicks. And I think really what it comes down to is they're not flagging content at this point.
I think
so
they're flagging
much
people.
As they're flagging people.
Mm-hmm. Accounts, right? And stuff.
Accounts.
So we say all of that. One, to let people know that it's happening. This is probably the most extreme I personally have seen, but it is not new. The reason that we have done what's called self-hosting with our websites for years is because WordPress purged a bunch of blogs ages ago.
Blogger did the same thing prior to that.
Twitter does things that make it almost impossible sometimes to be
shadow
found.
Shadow banning.
Instagram, yes. God help you if you have a nipple anywhere. They're gonna freak out.
Yes.
Facebook bans me for the weirdest things at least once every 6 months. They are all like this. So,
but the sad truth about all this is that unfortunately when it comes to those platforms, whether it's Tumblr, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, you're playing in their sandbox.
Right. Now, their sandbox is unfair. It is sex negative. It is puritanical. There's a lot of issues. But all of this to tell you, one, so that you understand what's going on out there.
Mm-hmm.
Two, that we care from a community standpoint, but we care on a personal level too. This is a place for us to more openly share things that we cared about on a sexual and kink level. Because of that, there are other smaller, lesser known platforms out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we are slowly it's mostly John Brownstone because you're good at this. Like, you are good at going out and being among the people. And I would like
online
to live in a cave.
Anyway.
I know. The online people. And I would be happy in a dark cave. Just make sure I have Wi-Fi and coffee. So you have been exploring some different sites.
A couple different sites at
that
this point,
are
yes.
meant to be sex and kink friendly social spaces.
Correct.
And we're going to keep doing that. And if we find some places that we really like, then we're going to let you guys know about them. And if you are out there in the same boat that we're in, that you're not able to do Tumblr or wherever else, and you have some recommendations, feel free, comment on YouTube, tweet at us, message us, whatever.
Right.
Let us know and we'll go check them out. Because
now, I know one of the big things happening right now with a lot of these other alternative sites, it has become a mass exodus from Tumblr, and these other sites are not equipped to handle they've been so small and so off in the corner for so long, and now suddenly they're just getting inundated with people, and it's crashing their sites. It's causing server errors. So, you know, it's going to take a while for the dust to settle from this.
Mm-hmm.
I do have to say this because this personally irks me a little bit, is that, you know, it really bothers me that the world has come to a point that it bans porn. It bans sexual expression, and yet you can go out there still at this point on Tumblr and find white supremacist.
Mm-hmm.
You can find guns and violence, abject violence,
atrocious things in those same platforms,
and yet something, you know, sexuality and that is raked through the coals,
right? And that's not going to change anytime soon,
unfortunately. Not
those of us who are the makers of that content are treated with usual complete lack of regard. I think it's going to come down to users. But people think that consumers of adult content are somehow different from consumers of every other content. And that's not true. I don't have any answers. This is not the episode for that. We probably got a little long-winded on this part.
Yeah, I think I got a little ranty, didn't I?
That's okay. Nobody ever gets to hear you rant. And every once in a while, just a John Brownstone rant just needs to happen.
I would be very curious after all this settles, after the dust settles from all this, I would really be curious to know what the metrics of Tumblr are
before
and after.
I know. Because how many people do they lose?
So many people are leaving. How many did they actually lose? What was the total
Can
base?
Can they survive after this? Yeah. So that's lots of ranting.
Mm-hmm.
Totally off topic.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's fine. Yeah. It's your turn. I'll rant later. Something will happen. I'll rant later.
I rant on something like Tumblr. Boy.
Oh, I know. Well, but you know, you said it. You've been on it for years and years, and it's been a place you could express yourself.
Yeah.
And now you can't because they're treating sex and sexuality as if it's something wrong and automatically dirty and filthy and that should be hidden away.
Right.
And my thinking is, with all of the technological advances other smart people have made in the past 5, 10, 15, 20 years, you're really telling me there's not a way somewhere out there to keep, for the most part, younger eyes off of this content, or that people who don't want to see it cannot see it, but it not cause problems for us, the creators? It's bullshit. But
yeah,
that's enough of that.
Okay.
It's time to get into the actual episode. And this one, it's another one of those, this is what we do, and we can't say what you should do because...
Or how others do it.
Right. And I don't know. I know a little bit how others do it because we talk and we share. And what I have found, the one thing I can say is I think that most of us who consider ourselves 24/7 DS, we are kind of a little similar on a lot of things. We did a blog post this week sort of busting a few myths about what 24/7 DS is and is not. And I think my absolute favorite, because it goes back to a thing that we've been talking about a lot, is that it's 24/7 DS is not the same as 24/7 kinky fuckery.
No.
And I think that that's part of what people think when they imagine it.
Well, that's a big misconception, I think, because people have a tendency to intertwine the two together.
Right.
And it's not really, when you talk of 24/7 DS, it's more of the power exchange.
It's actually more mental than anything.
Yes.
For me at least, because you cannot, and we've talked about this in it feels like a million, 156 other episodes.
At least.
Where you can't give me orders all the time, where we have to modify our behavior to fit with the vanilla place that we're in. We have to modify things when somebody gets sick or when a kid needs us. Or
when family's visiting or we're visiting family.
And the thing is, in all of those times, every single moment, it never occurs to either of us that we're not 24/7. Because 24/7, for me, isn't about what we're physically doing. It's not even about, am I calling him daddy? Am I calling him sir? Am I doing what he asks me to do? It's not about that at all. It's about how we feel about our relationship. And for me, it is entirely about the power exchange. Even when we are in a situation where I am in control of that situation, or I have to make decisions, or we have to be perceived as every other vanilla couple, I know that he is the dominant. I know that he's in control. When the moment I can find a way to let him make the decision, defer to him, cede back any authority I might have, I'm going to do that. But situationally, I might have to do something different, but it doesn't change how I feel about him. It doesn't change how I feel about myself. Mm-hmm. It doesn't change how I feel about our relationship. And in our relationship, we are always DS, even if somebody from the outside can't perceive it. And even when we know that we're looking at our relationship going, that's not as DS-y as I'd like it to be. We've gone a little vanilla. Can we dial that back and get back to normal? I mean, there are times we'll be laying in bed at the end of a really long day, a really long week, and go, do you feel kinky at all? No, I don't feel kinky at all either. And then we go, okay, we have to kind of do a reset.
Yeah.
But at no point do I think that we're not 24/7. Because
nor do I, yeah.
For me, it's interwoven into everything we do. You are always in charge.
Mm-hmm.
You get to act on it. You are always in charge, and most of the time you get to act on it. Does that make
true.
Sense?
True, absolutely. And we said this before in a number of other episodes. It's life, it ebbs and flows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, there are days when the DS is very much in the forefront of what we do.
Oh yeah, he's telling me what to do left and right. Baby girl, do this. Baby girl, do that. Yes, daddy.
Baby girl, get me a coffee.
Yes, daddy.
Thank you.
And then there are days where it feels like we're barely stringing two words together to each other. And it's he'll ask me to do something. And it's not the ask that's really in order. It's the ask of, I'd really like you to do this. Can you do this? Is this okay?
Yeah.
And I have to answer. I don't necessarily get to answer as my submissive self. I have to answer as the businesswoman or the mom and go, I can't do this right now. We have to do something else.
Well, I have to look at you and pretty much determine where you're at some point.
I am so sorry.
Well, it's a given. I mean, depending on the workload you have for the day.
True.
Okay. Depending on your headspace, where your anxiety is at, where, you know, I have to take all those things in consideration as your partner and your dominant.
And that's the big stuff. That's like on the day-to-day we're at home. Well, at the end of the year, first of 2019, we'll be at my mom's house for a week.
Right.
And our moments of feeling our DS self, well, we've talked about this in a lot of episodes, y'all. We usually do that around the holidays.
Yeah.
We will either have to find ways to kind of make ourselves feel our submissive or dominant self, or we'll have to let that go. And we'll, because it's how we choose to be, we will present as any other couple. Partly because we know the tricks where we can do stuff that nobody will know what the hell
exactly.
we're doing.
And the nice thing about going into it this year, we know we will have the cottage.
This little outbuilding that my stepfather built that is like an apartment.
Yeah.
And it has nothing other than electricity and a bed. It doesn't have Wi-Fi. It doesn't have cable.
No.
We don't care because you know what? It's so far away from the main house. He can make me scream and nobody can hear me. Oh, that's so delicious.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to that.
You and me both.
I'm looking forward to that. But, you know, it's the other thing is that there are couples who manage to have more micromanagement. They manage to have a higher protocol. We are, as y'all know, extremely relaxed. And I have a lot more freedom in my tone and my language. And when I say more freedom, I still have to be careful. If I come across as disrespectful.
Until I give you the side eye.
Right. The side eye kind of turns me on, though, because it's when you are presenting your dominant self, and it's like, I don't want the side eye. The submissive part of me is like, I don't want the side eye. That means I'm not being a good girl. But then I get the side eye. I'm like, oh, there's Big D. There we go. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Your side eye might be a kink of mine. I don't know. Sometimes. But that's the thing about it is that...
Yeah.
You know, if you, even when you have higher protocols and you have more rules and you are stricter, real life is going to intervene. So when real life intervenes, right, and for a day you have to, you know, maybe to speak a little bit differently because you don't want those questions. It's just not something you want to have to answer with family or work or wherever.
Right.
It's nobody else's business, right? And you've decided, no, they don't need to see that. So for a day... You relax your protocols, or for a week, somebody doesn't use a title. I mean, think pretty deeply about that. Does that mean that you somehow stopped being DS because you stopped using a title or you stopped following a protocol? I hope not.
No.
To me, that would mean that your DS is situational. Now, situational DS, where you are only DS in these circumstances, that's valid. That's legitimate. But when you're 24/7 DS, at least from our perspective, I don't need the trappings of it to feel my submissive self or to know that I'm submissive to John Brownstone. He is my daddy even when we're in the middle of an argument and I'm not sounding very submissive at all, quite frankly.
Get that real uber snarky attitude going.
That's what you get for loving a smart person, okay?
True.
I don't know what to tell you.
No regrets here. None whatsoever. I wouldn't change
And I'm a words person, so I use my words to great effect.
Yes. And what's nice about that is it's kept me on edge, so it keeps me sharp.
Exactly.
To counter all that.
Exactly. So, you know, we've done the episodes where we talk about the things you can do to feel your mindset and to stay in the mindset that nobody knows about. We've talked about those times when vanilla life interferes and how to get back on track. Mm-hmm. But I really think if people think about it for a second, getting back on track is a legitimate thing. Sometimes the dynamic falls to the wayside because it has to, because of circumstance, because of all kinds of reasons. And so you have to shift and get back into that connection. But mm-hmm. I think if we really think about it, your relationship is still there. The actions of the relationship might not be there. The ways that those actions and those words and those looks make you feel are definitely missing. But I kind of believe for most of us, that's not what makes us 24/7.
No.
And again, at least certainly from my perspective, what makes us 24/7 is that he is always daddy.
And you're always baby girl.
Exactly. And if I had, you know, I could do whatever I wanted, I would defer to him in all things. And I would always wait to be told, or I would ask, what do you want me to do? Mm-hmm. But that's not always realistic either. There are times when I am doing that. I'm like, what do you want me to do, daddy? And he's like, I don't know.
And I have those days too. Some right. days it just, you know, she has her days that sometimes she doesn't feel very submissive. There are days I have so much shit going on. Mm-hmm. I feel so overwhelmed. It's like, don't ask me to make another fucking decision, okay?
John Brownstone ranted and dropped an F-bomb in the same episode. Somebody needs to write this down on a calendar somewhere. I'm just saying. Episode 157 will go down in infamy. We hit all your hot buttons,
see,
apparently.
See, change my surroundings and look what happens.
So, I think for those people out there who worry that 24/7 is too much, that worry that they couldn't handle it, mm-hmm. I think like any other relationship you have, it's what you make of it. So if your DS is more of a feeling, now for some people, the act of domination, the act of submission is very mm-hmm. action-based. It is about the things they do. There's nothing wrong with that. There's right. nothing wrong with seeing it that way. There's nothing wrong with that being important to you. There's nothing wrong with you wanting a relationship built around that. But I have found that when, especially a loving relationship, not necessarily a sexual one, but a loving relationship, mm-hmm. it really is more about how you feel. And it's about how you see that person and how you see yourself and right. where you see your relationship going and what the relationship means to you and all of those things that don't really, it doesn't matter what you're doing. If you look at your partner and you think, man, even at their worst, they are whatever to you, mm-hmm. then I think you have the capacity for 24/7. Now, I know a lot of dominants who say the thing that makes them worry about 24/7 is the sheer amount of responsibility. And it is a lot of responsibility. I'm not going to pretend otherwise.
No, but just like in the past, we've talked about titles, mm-hmm. okay? All the titles that go along with BDSM, all right, and what they are, what they mean, they're a spectrum, mm-hmm. okay? And it's a very broad spectrum, and it is the same thing with 24/7, all right? That is a spectrum in and of itself. You can be to the point that you have the type of relationship where, you know, you have negotiated all kinds of micromanagement. I've heard of some relationships where the dominant determines when their submissive goes to the bathroom.
That's a special relationship.
Okay. Well, it's part of the dynamic.
Exactly.
And that's,
it would not work for me, but if it works for them,
it
good
wouldn't
for
work
them.
For us either. So you've got, you know, the 24/7 on one end of the spectrum, and then you've got DS Lite.
Sure.
On the end. And you slip in and out of it as you need. It's whatever you want it to be. You right. model it to whatever fits your lifestyle, your dynamic, and your consent.
And you can call it whatever you want to. I mean, there's a, in mentioning titles, every time we do something on titles or labels, there is always at least one person, never the same person, who always responds or messages with, "This is why I hate titles, because they're so confining." Uh-huh. And that is a valid criticism of titles and labels.
It is.
The moment we label something, we try to define it. And when our definition doesn't match up with somebody else's definition, then mm-hmm. there's sort of a conflict, right? And the same is true of this, where somebody has defined what 24/7 DS is to them, and there are people who think it can't mean anything else. And just like titles and labels, if you want to call your relationship 24/7 DS, you go right on ahead and you define it in whatever way works for you.
I don't know about you, but you know, I don't think I'd want to have a full 24/7 DS relationship. I like to sleep at some point. Okay? I want to go to sleep.
And I like having a certain amount of autonomy. If we tried to have the kind of relationship mm-hmm. where I have to ask you everything, or if we had to have a method for every situation that might come up. So yeah. there will be certain things where I know what the expectation is, and this is what I... From observation, what I've seen from many micromanaged relationships, not mm-hmm. that there are a lot of them out there, where there are certain things you have to ask every time. There are certain things where you know what the expectation is. So it's not that you have to ask, but you know what you can or cannot do. Sure. And then, because I'm skeptical, what about when life throws you a fucking curveball, right?
Oh.
And in our experience...
It's good for that.
Right? In our experience, life is constantly throwing weird shit our way.
Yes.
And it's funny to me. We've talked about this... it's been several episodes ago when we talked about service submission.
Mm-hmm.
Part of my service submission is anticipating what you want or need, knowing right. you like this. So I'm not going to wait to be told to do something. I'm not going to ask if I should do it. I know you like this, so I'm going to do it for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a level of autonomy that I want. But if we define 24/7 DS as me always having to ask permission, or you always having to tell me what to do, or some combination of the two,
right?
I lose the autonomy that I like as a submissive.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very busy with our DS and not a lot else.
Not a lot of anything else.
And yet, if...
Could you imagine me trying to guide your work?
Oh, good Lord. I love you. Go away.
All right.
Get away from my writing corner.
I mean, other than at times I do check in with you and say,
sure.
baby girl, how are you coming along with your to-do list for
but
the day?
Can I tell you, when... I knew we were going to live together. We moved in June together, June 2014.
Right.
I was starting a freelance life.
Correct.
It was new to me, so I didn't have any systems.
Mm-hmm.
You had never lived with somebody who was a freelancer, so there's like
no.
a lot of unknowns. And there have been times early on when I wondered how that would work. Would you tell me when I should work and when I shouldn't? And then there have been times I've actually considered asking you to do that.
Oh, but, my, really?
Right. Not what work to do or how to do my work, but tell me when I'm supposed to work and I will work.
9 to 5. No.
How yeah, well has right? that worked out for us?
Exactly. Exactly.
And there were times it was sort of a comforting thought to think that I could let go of that much control
mm-hmm.
and say, "I this is off my shoulders. I will work when I'm told to work," as if it were... a day job,
yeah.
working for somebody else. And then I realized that that wouldn't work. One, I
no.
would come to resent it. Two, my every day is a little bit different. Three,
right.
the whole purpose in our world of having this freelance life is to have the flexibility.
Correct.
So, and that there were too many things you couldn't possibly know in order to make the right decision. You have to leave that to me. There have been times you
yeah.
put parameters on it.
Sure.
You know, and that's been good and helpful. But I think it comes back down to...
I mean, there are times I've said to you, "All right, baby girl, you are not working past 6 o'clock tonight."
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Or you've got to take a day off this weekend.
Exactly.
Or whatever. But
yeah.
see, and that's the thing. I think that even I, at different times, have had this perception that because because we're 24/7, I need to hand over more control to you. I need to let you decide these things. But then when I look at them through the reality of our life, it can't work. It can't work either because you are not the best one to make that decision, even if you are the decider. And two, we don't have the kind of time it would take every day to make the right decision, to have those conversations. And so it would disrupt a lot of other facets of our life.
Right.
What I have found, and this is another sort of mark of this is what 24/7 means to me, is that when I need you to make a decision or to help me make a decision, as long as I approach you at the right time and in the right way, you are going to be there for that.
Sure.
So what I've learned to do, instead of saying, "Daddy, tell me what to do," and then having to spend a full day teaching you what any of it even means so you can make a good decision, I have learned to go, okay, here's the situation I'm in. Here are the two, maybe three options I'm looking at.
Right.
And I don't know what to do. Oh, that's right. I don't really have to always make these decisions, Daddy. And then I will present. I'll explain the situation. I'll present my options.
Good thing I got broad shoulders.
I know. I'll present the options in my mind. Here's how I see it. And a couple things will happen. Either he'll immediately go, "Oh, you need to do this one. That I think that one will work." And I go, "Thank you. Thank you for helping me because I couldn't decide." Or I'll get a different perspective. I'm seeing it through, you know, tunnel vision of what I know to be true.
Right, I'll say, "Oh, have you thought about this?"
Right. And then we come to a better decision. And you know what's funny? This is how any healthy relationship can work, where you talk things out with your partner. But what makes it part of our DS to me is that I'm going to present him with those options. And then whatever he tells me to do, I'm going to go, "Okay, that's what I'm going to do then. Thank you." Because if I could decide for myself, I wouldn't have come to him in the first place. And I'm presenting options I either think are the right ones, whether I love them, or I just have too many good options and I just don't know. And so that's what my daddy is for, because he's the decider and he will help me with these things. But I can't, that doesn't mean I can always depend on you to make every decision. Yeah. It's, there are certain decisions that we've negotiated that you will make. There are certain times, if my headspace is really baby girl, really, really submissive, I'll just ask, "Hey daddy, can I have dessert? Hey daddy, can we do this? Hey daddy, hey daddy." There's a lot of "hey daddy" questions in our life.
"Hey daddy."
Whatever. Whatever. But that's what that means to me. It's not that you have to make every decision. I still need the freedom to be able to do certain things, especially work-related. Parenting is a 50-50 thing with us. That is the one time that he's not going to automatically win the argument because he's the dominant. I have won those arguments. I have lost some arguments. You know, it's, we have to find a middle ground,
We found a middle ground. We've, oh, got it. Okay, come on, word lady. The word for meeting in the middle and...
compromise?
Compromise, thank you. Thank you.
See, you go on one rant, you drop one F-bomb, and then you forget all the other words.
It's all gone to shit.
All the other words are gone. Yeah, I noticed that. So, I don't know if we're saying anything useful to anybody.
I don't know.
I guess, bottom line, we could have made this a 5-minute episode. Bottom line, 24/7 DS to me is almost completely mental.
It is. And you know what has changed it for us over time since we've been together too? The boys are getting older.
Oh, yes. Thank God.
All right. And well, in my mind, that's made it a little bit more difficult.
Way more observant
because
than before.
They pay attention more to what's going on and things are being said.
They understand more because, you know, part of it's because we have raised them to be sort of open about sex and sexuality.
Right.
They don't know. The oldest has now heard the words BDSM. We talked about this in the raising sex positive kink friendly kids episode. And because of that, because we keep them in the dark when it's not appropriate for them to know something.
Correct.
But in an age-appropriate way, we don't keep them in the dark about sex and kink.
No.
They are also very observant. Right. And so they'll pick up on stuff, and they kind of understand, and what they don't understand, nice when they'll ask.
Kind of nice when they were little, you know. Oh, just God, yeah. Tuck them off into bed at an early hour, and, you know, they're sound asleep. And
Or they're at least in their bedroom not doing anything with us. Yeah. But now, if I defer in a slightly different way, or they have, I think it was the oldest, it's been ages ago, he asked, or he made a comment about, you always do what Mr. John wants you to do.
Oh, I didn't hear that one.
Yeah, and I was like, okay. And it was during a period where there was a lot of me asking you, what would you like? What do you want me to do? You know, what can I do? What should I do? How should I do it? You know, there was a lot of that. And it was an awkward moment. And I think my answer was probably something along the lines of, well, when you love somebody, you want to make them happy, and as long as what they want is not harmful, or if there's no problem with it, then, you know, you do what you can. That he was young, though.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he noticed something, it might be a little bit more awkward. I don't know what, I'm going to say 18, quite frankly, but I don't really know what the right age is to explain power dynamic and power exchange to your kid.
No,
I don't have those answers. But there is more subtlety in our 24/7 DS because we are being observed more often by kids who are paying better attention and have a broader understanding of the world just because they've grown up a little bit.
Right.
And I think that goes back to it as well. There are times I can't ask for the things I want, or I have to ask for them in ways that don't really sound like asking for them. Or, you know, there are things we'd love to do. We'd love to get naked and get kinky in our living room, but that's hard.
Yeah.
That's hard when you got a teenager in the next room, right? yeah, it would be hot to do some sort of like kneeling, sitting on the floor, blah, blah, blah thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not feasible. And that
last time we did anything in the living room was our wedding night.
I know, and we freaked out the dog.
Yeah,
we totally freaked out the dog.
We scared the dog.
He slept in the bed with us that night because he was so worried about me. just saying. And so I think that's another thing that factors into why, for me, 24/7 DS isn't about the things we do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about even the things we say or even the tone in our voice. It's about how we feel about each other.
Right.
And that on a dime, we can slip from, okay, we're vanilla at the grocery store trying to buy our groceries, or vanilla and at the kids' school watching the Christmas concert, which is what we did this morning.
Yeah.
And then the next moment, the moment we know it's a private moment, my voice changes, his demeanor changes, we give each other certain looks, and it's a very fluid kind of thing. We're in and out of the vanilla part of our lives and those obligations, and the kinky part of our lives and the things that make us feel the most ourselves, which is why when we get into it later, we had such a good time at the Woodshed because we were ourselves as business people. We were ourselves as a couple. We were ourselves as individuals. It was just this, every time I'm in a kink friendly space, it's very liberating because I was calling him daddy in front of everybody.
Yeah. And I could call her baby girl.
And it wasn't in a certain voice. It wasn't in that baby girl voice. It was just, hey, daddy. Now, a couple times I was screaming, daddy, daddy, daddy. I'm the only human being on the planet who calls him that. And he was not hearing me. And finally, I was like, oh, I can't believe I'm going to do this. John. I hate saying that name. And I got his attention. My mother's like that too, by the way. I'm part of it, I guess, because I'm Southern. I call her mama. I'm almost 40 and I call my mother mama. I know. I don't care. I'm screaming that out across a store. She doesn't hear a thing. I scream out her real name. Turns on a dime. Yeah, you're, ooh, that's gross. You're like my mom. No, I don't like that. We're not going to go with that.
Stop that.
We're not
going
to go with that comparison. And I think that's it. I think we finally found our point to this whole rambly, ranty thing. 24/7 DS for us has a fluidity to it.
Right.
Where we are always who we are with each other. We always feel about the other the way we do. He's always daddy. I'm always baby girl. That does not change no matter what we are physically doing. But in an instant, like the moment we know we can shift into that very DSE.
Right. And that's what it comes down to. The rituals, the protocols, those are all fluid.
Yeah. they're situational. They, we can cast those aside if we need to. We might miss them. Right. We might want them, but we don't need them.
I just had a thought, you know, when we're out in public, and we can't always express our DS, one of the things that, baby girl does, when we get back into the car, her job is to give me my sunglasses.
If you need your sunglasses.
If it's, you know, not nighttime or
not at night.
Overcast. But you hand me my sunglasses, you take my glasses and put them away for me.
We do something even more subtle than that. We do. And we can do it no matter what time of day, no matter where we are. And we both get very annoyed when we do not follow this. For whatever reason, and it's weird because it's backwards on this couch, because at the desk, this way. When we are walking,
only,
it is this
yeah,
way.
This is the only place that it's...
I am always on his right side. It is very strange. Only on this couch am I on his left side.
Yeah.
I am always on his right side. And if we can be walking through a parking lot, okay, if the sides are switched, or if I'm not even with him and I'm still walking behind him.
You're on the wrong side, baby girl.
Exactly. Oh, well, you're not the only one. I'm like, Daddy, you're doing this wrong.
That's true.
I'm on the wrong side. Yeah. You're doing this wrong. And it's those teeny tiny little things that nobody is going to know. Not even kinky people are going to know. You're not going to know the significance of that to us, because I don't need anybody to know the significance of that to us. And I don't need it to be outwardly kinky in order for it to be kinky, or for it to be meaningful, or for it to be part of our dynamic. Our dynamic is who we are all the time, and it intertwines with every facet of our life, even if we are not outwardly expressing it. That's what 24/7 DS is to us.
Yeah.
I think it took us a while to get here.
It did.
But we got here.
Yeah, we always come full circle.
Eventually. Eventually. So I think that's it.
Yeah.
We have just the
bonus section.
Bonus section where we're going to go, what should? So.
Okay.
Okay.
We good, baby girl?
As good as we're going to be.
Okay.
We're getting better all the time.
It's all we can try for.
And yes, that is true.
Yep. Okay.
Okay.
Keep it kinky, y'all.
And we'll see you next week. And can I talk to the crickets now?
You want to talk?
I want to talk to the crickets, please, Daddy.
I get this feeling, baby girl, that you want to talk to the crickets.
There's a rumor going around I might want to talk to the crickets.
Really?
A little rumor.
Just a small rumor?
Just a small one.
Well, you know, they say there's a grain of truth to every rumor.
Daddy, can I talk to the crickets, please?
Go ahead, baby girl.
Thank you. The woodshed was awesome. The woodshed was awesome. It was so, so good. From the moment we got there and we were welcomed in with open arms.
Yeah.
So an observation that doesn't mean a lot, but it's been on my mind this whole week since.
Okay.
So I think part of it is because we brought our own table and we didn't use the woodshed's table. And I think most, not all, but most other people did use the woodshed's table. Uh-huh. We were the only one there that did not have black, like everything black.
Yes,
black tablecloth,
that's
black
true.
Draping, black this, black that.
We kind of, yes.
We were this little bright spot in the middle of the whole place.
In the dark dungeon.
And here's what's funny. For half a second, I was like, oh, God, we don't have black on our table. Are they going to know that we're really kinky? Never mind, we got paddles all over the fucking
and
table.
And
butt plugs, right? But, and then I remembered, wait, we designed Loving BDSM to have lots of white space, to be very bright, to not necessarily be as dark and black and red and blah, 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 as all the other kink stuff out there. And then I went, you know what? That's on brand for us. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with being the bright, shiny spot. So the way they did it, they took one of, because they have more than one room, they took one of their playrooms and pushed everything to the side and then set up tables.
Yep.
And then we all set up our own stuff. And we ended up having a spanking bench next to us.
Yes.
I offered to let, as long as it overclosed, I offered to let people try out the paddles. They all laughed at me. Blushed, looked at the spanking bench, and passed. Even if they bought something, still nobody took me up on it. I was like, come on.
Right.
We stood and talked the whole time.
Yes.
It was from 3 to 7. Yes. And by the time we were done, my feet hurt and my throat hurt. But I felt like a carnival barker. Like, I had a whole shtick down of what to say once I felt comfortable talking to the people coming up to the table.
You were damn good. You were a big help.
All those years in retail came, like, flooding back.
I could not have done that show by myself without your help.
It was such a good show.
It was. Like I said earlier, Master Cecil and his folks were just fantastic. Mm-hmm. Anytime I had a question, I could reach out to one of them, and they answered it right on the spot. Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful people. I know from doing regular pop-up craft shows, these things take time. They take planning.
Yeah, they do.
And they put so much thought and effort into it. And I know this isn't the first time they've done this.
No, yeah.
They've apparently done this for a number of years. This is the first time for us.
Yes, and we were the newbies in the crowd.
Yeah, we were the newbies. But they made us feel welcome. Mm-hmm. It was overall a great experience.
It was. And it was fun working together with you in a different way. So we work together all the time. We do this show together. We do the website together. I'm the tester of all products he makes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the shipper of all products he makes.
And a fine shipping department you are.
I try to be. But we've never done a show together. That's usually your domain.
Yeah. This is the first of any show that you've done with me.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was a little different. It was kind of nice having you there.
It was very nice being there. I worried because I know y'all will be shocked by this. I tend to take things over. I tend to take control and try and do things the way I want. And I worried because I've now been to enough fairs, kinky or otherwise, mm-hmm. And been in enough booths and watched how people are, and did work in retail for like 10 years to think, there's got to be a better way than just sitting in a chair and staring at people as they walk into your booth. And then, of course, I was there as Kayla Lords, which is not my legal name. And it's mm-hmm. not, I said this last week, it's not a persona in the sense that that's not who I am. But it's easier to kind of pull it over myself, almost like I'm
it's your
wearing,
alter ego.
It's like my alter ego.
Yeah.
Like it's my superhero, okay? under my legal name, I'm way more Peter Parker, okay? Just way more Peter Parker. But as Kayla Lords, like I can talk to people most of the time, and mm-hmm. I can, and if I'm talking about something that I care about and I know about and I'm passionate about, it's really easy. It's really performative in that sense. It's like standing up on stage and talking to people. It's like talking into a microphone.
Right.
So I said, I don't want to do what I see lots of other, we had just gone to a craft show that morning, a vanilla one.
Yeah.
And we had walked into some booths where they never spoke to us.
No.
We wandered their whole booth and they just sat in their chair and looked at us. And I went, I don't want to be that way. I've never worked one of these, but I don't want to mm-hmm. be that way. So I just stood there and I kept thinking, how can I describe this without being intrusive? Because I'm also that shopper who does not like when a salesperson asks me 10 times if they can fucking help me. No,
yeah.
I'll let you know. I want you to acknowledge me. But after that, leave me the hell alone until I need you. And so I wanted to do that, but I also understood we had a lot going on our table. So when you looked at other booths, they were very focused on stuff. Like right next to us was a dude who made his own rope. Like he actually wove his own rope. It was freaking amazing. There was a guy who had tons of paddles, like really crazy wild paddles. On another table.
They were cool looking paddles.
There was a massive space, like right in front of us, of all the sharp pokey things. So knives and Wartenberg
wheels.
He
had like four or five tables.
Yeah, and all sharp stuff.
All sharp cutting
instruments.
So there were things
to people's tables. There was the flogger table. We got a flogger. I'm very excited.
Yes.
But our table was very eclectic because we do lots of things, right? So I felt like I had to sort of explain things to people, but also, as the person other than the butt plugs who has been on the receiving end of everything on that table, I'm in a unique position to talk about it. So I tried to set it up the display wise in a way that made sense to me. So I put the thuddy paddles together. I put the stingy, hitty things together,
mm-hmm.
butt plugs together, and then we had pins and some of his bowls. And it took me, we'd been there 2 hours before I figured this out. So here was
you'll
my shtick.
You'll love this. I laughed when I heard her say this.
From my right, so the customer's left, I would say, this is our thuddy section. Here's our stingy section. Butt plugs if you're into anal. And oh, if you like to write or assign lines to be written, here are some pins. It took me 2 hours of talking about this before I could go, yeah, that's what it is. That's yep. how we're going to describe it. I was so frustrated with myself. I was like, and the first guy I said it to, he went, I have a pin fetish. I'm like, we're your people. Here you go. We're your people.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it was fun to meet people. I met people who live in the area. I met people who had driven kind of a little bit mm-hmm. from out of the area. We met people who met several femdoms. Mind fucked one accidentally.
Yes, you did.
And for the record,
I had a good chuckle.
It's
over
because
that
she
one.
Didn't hear me.
Uh-huh.
So
sure.
The item she bought was $32.99. She handed me cash. I did not want to like give a penny out as change. And so I said, hey, can I said to John Brownstone, can I just charge her 32 and we'll give her $8 back? He said, yeah, that's fine. So I said to her, as I'm handing her her change, we only charged you 32. So here's $8 in change. But she was apparently kind of talking to her friend at the time. And so she takes the money, she counts it, and you could see her mind go, wait, what? And she goes, it was $32.99. She's trying to give me a dollar. I said, yeah, we went ahead. I didn't feel like doing the penny. That was silly. We went ahead and gave it to you for 32. And she went, oh my gosh, I thought I was losing my mind. I said, did I mind fuck you? And she went, yes, not consensually. And I went, oh my God, I am so sorry. And then she had turned kind of pink from like really when I had said mind fuck. And then when she said that to me, then I was just beet red. And then she got a good laugh out of it. So that was fun. But yeah, so
even
we had
in Orlando, you're stirring up trouble.
I am. We were invited back. We couldn't take them up on the offer, but we were invited back for another opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And this is by the people who run the woodshed. So that was, to me, that was meaningful.
Yeah.
That meant something.
Yes.
Something about us or our product or whatever, they were like, yeah, we like these people. They can come back. I think they were surprised at how because they thought that not a lot of the vendors had actually promoted
the event.
And we were like, no, we haven't stopped talking about it for a month.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if we've helped at all, but we are definitely talking about
right.
it. And then there were people that we talked to that they didn't buy a thing, but I sent them away with like Loving BDSM postcard little collateral about the show so they could
right.
find the show. One person had just gone through a breakup and that person was absolutely devastated.
Yeah.
I don't know if I just have one of those faces where people sort of tell me their life story, but I got this person's life story. And it brought tears to my eyes and my heart hurt for that person. And I will say, cause I'm not saying anything about that person's situation.
No,
but,
no,
that person just reiterated to me what I already knew. And I want everybody else to know a dominant's heart can get broken just as badly as a submissive.
Oh yeah.
So yes. This, it is true that for many submissives, a DS breakup is gut wrenching. It's just one of the worst things ever, but I assure you, if the dominant in that situation is a caring dominant and really does want to be in that relationship, it is as devastating mm-hmm. for them
oh,
as it is for a submissive.
Absolutely. It goes
and
both
it,
ways.
And that broke my heart because that person was saying, this is where I met, this club is where I met that person.
Mm.
And they were looking at the paddles and we had our display had purple paracord on it. And they were like, my former partner would have loved this and I would have bought that for them. And I was like, oh my God, you're killing me. You know? So in the conversation, some things were said and I had said to them, here, maybe this will help, but if it hurts too much, don't worry about listening to our podcast, but yeah. Here, this might help. And then they were telling me some false beliefs that their partner had. And I'm like, okay, your partner needs to listen to this too. If you're in contact, send them our way. we got some lessons to teach them. But yeah, it was cool. It was an amazing experience. And I'm already looking forward to the opportunity to do other things like that. The energy among the people that were there at the Witch was so great. Good. I love when the energy is good. I mean, that's how we felt at our former club that's now defunct. Yeah. We walked in and the energy was good. We just went, oh yeah, this is where we need to be. We're home. And that's
how it felt there.
And it was funny because when we were telling people, well, we are moving, you know, we're from Tampa Bay area, but we're going to be going to Ocala and we'll make this our home place, at least for club.
Yeah.
They were like, they were like, you would drive over an hour? It's like, oh yeah, because... Mm-hmm. Where we live now, we could drive for an hour and not even be to the south end of the county. So driving an hour is not that big of a deal to us.
No.
So, but yeah, it was that. So that's all that I have to say about it. What about you? I've sort of taken up all the oxygen.
You've pretty much done a good job.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. I think we probably should...
You mean other than the fact that I've heard my phone ring 3 or 4 times since we started recording?
Well, that too.
Yeah, I probably should go check that.
Yes.
I don't know why they're not calling your phone. Oh, that's right. Your phone's on silent.
My phone's on silent.
I hope it's not an emergency.
I know.
It could be. I got my hair done today. I don't know if it's obvious under these lights or not. I hope so. and I like tipped the woman who does my hair like a huge amount, way more than I normally would because of Christmas. And I wanted to be, I can do that this year. So I wanted to be able to do that this year. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't warn her because I did it through the Square app. She's going to think that I hit the wrong button and want to give me my money back. So she could be trying to get a hold of me like, why did you, you hit an extra zero? No, I didn't.
No.
So that could be it too.
Okay.
Okay. So that is a, hey, it's bonus section. I can say all kinds of wild, wacky things in the bonus section.
And you don't other times?
Well, I'm usually at least try to be on topic other times. I try.
All right.
Okay. So yeah, we should go.
Yes.
We're going to keep tinkering with and playing with this setup to get it just right. If you're watching on YouTube.
Yeah. If you're watching on YouTube, listening on the podcast, whatever you're doing, please give us a little bit of feedback. Because we're tinkering. I mean, just like last week, somebody messaged us and said, you know, the audio was a little low.
Right.
And, you know.
And we can play with it now. We can fix that kind of stuff.
We can play with it. This week, I've turned up the mic gain a little bit on each mic and, you know, played around with that. So, let's see. You know, we're kind of a work in progress with this. We're striving to make things better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we want it to look good and sound good and be good and all of those good things.
And maybe even entertain a little bit, you know.
Yeah. Oh, did you just do like a little jig on the couch?
No.
I have to tell because yes. So I have to tell you guys this because it's true. Even though in post-production of the video, I might be able to work things out. But we're talking about our new setup. I'm sitting on the couch to record the video portion of this. And John Brownstone says, you mean I'm going to have to wear pants? It's like,
yeah.
But also I
can't get away with just a shirt anymore.
I might be able to edit that part out. I'll let you know. So there's a chance that if I can crop the video so you can't see below the waist, John Brownstone might be sitting on the couch without his pants on. Which is like most other days, quite frankly.
But for the moment...
You're dressed.
I'm dressed. I'm actually wearing jeans.
Yeah, so am I.
Yeah.
Feels weird. We got new t-shirts from Kinky Cloth. I took advantage of a coupon they had for Black Friday, which is the same percentage off as our coupon, Kinky Kayla Lords. KikiCloth.com, 25% off. And I got us new shirts, and he's like, well, do you want to wear our new t-shirts? And I was like, we don't ever wear real clothes. Maybe we should wear our real clothes. It's actually a chilly day in Florida,
yes,
and we do own long sleeve shirts. Mm-hmm. It happens, and jeans. I don't have a thick jacket.
Yeah, chilly for Florida is relative compared to most of the other country. We're topping out at about 61 degrees today as we record
this. I know,
and
I get very cranky when I get cold, and so I've been very cranky. Yeah. 61 degrees, and I'm cranky, so... Okay,
we should
probably be done.
Yes.
Okay, love you guys.
Thank you, we love you. Mm-hmm. Appreciate you being here and hanging out with us.
Mm-hmm. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.